views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio, harnessing our connection with the universe to affect change for optimal success and happiness. Are you looking for direction with your relationships, business, purpose, or simply life? Well, you're at the right place. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, gifted others, but mostly you. Get ready for a slice of life's journey, Eve's objective guidance, tarot, readings, and the momentum you need to move beyond whatever crossroad you're stuck at. Now here's your amazing host, Eve.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio, harnessing the power of the universe for happier living. My name is Eve, the MBA psychic from Elite Tarot, and I am so happy to be here today. And in fact, I have been waiting impatiently for today's show for quite some time, as I have on a guest who I cannot wait to talk to. Thank you so much, Benny, for producing the show today, and many thanks to all of you for tuning in. So what a neat show we have planned today. Joining me on today's show is crystal and stone expert Nicholas Pearson, who has written a fantastic book called The Seven Archetypal Stones, Their Spiritual Powers and Teachings. Now, I have a confession to make. As a professional tarot card reader, I go to metaphysical stores and events quite a lot. I see all these beautiful stones, and clients will even occasionally tell me about different stones they're using for healing and inspiration. Frankly, I get overwhelmed by the sheer number and the type of the stones, all with complex, long names, and I don't know the difference between them. So I have to admit that I know next to nothing about this field, which is truly a shame, as I'm all about providing resources to clients where they can use what is available to affect change for optimal success and happiness. So I was thrilled when I heard about my guest's new book, and I asked him, "Do you mind if I ask you some basic fundamental questions?" He couldn't have been cooler about it. And so today I get the opportunity to bring my knowledge up a bit on this topic. Plus, and I cannot wait for this, we will be doing readings in the second part of the show where I will do a one-card tarot card reading and Nicholas, my guest, will suggest a stone or crystal that might best complement the situation that the caller has. So if you're interested in a reading with a crystal stone suggestion, give us a call at 800-930-2819. We will also be giving away one copy of Nicholas's book to the first caller. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest. Nicholas Pearson has been immersed in all aspects of the mineral kingdom for more than 20 years. He began teaching crystal workshops in high school, later studying mineral science at Stetson University while pursuing a degree in music. He worked for several years at the Gillespie Museum, home to the largest mineral collection in the southern United States. Not only that, but he is also a certified teacher and practitioner of the Japanese healing art of Usui Reiki Ryoho. He teaches crystal and Reiki classes throughout the U.S. You can learn more about Nicholas through his Facebook page at The Luminous Pearl. Welcome, Nicholas, to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you so much, Eve. It's a delight to be with you today.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, before I get started asking some fundamental questions, I would love to know, how did you get started in this such a unique field?
You know, it goes back to early childhood. I was always the kind of kid who would pick up rocks. They were my favorite souvenirs, whether it was a day trip to the grandparents' house pulling rocks out of their neighbor's driveway or going to national parks on big family vacations. And it wasn't long before my grandfather actually gave me my very first piece of quartz, which is one of the ones that you can see pictured in the book, in the color plates. And that totally transformed it. It wasn't just rocks anymore, but it was fine minerals that called to me, although I didn't really know that's what they were then. So here we are 22 years later, and I've still got the bug. I'm still collecting, still researching, still loving it.
That's fantastic. And it's so unique, and it has so many different applications. But, okay, fundamental question here. What is the difference between stones, crystals, gems? Are they all the same? How are they different?
Well, you know, in the spiritual community, we sort of use a lot of these terms interchangeably because it's just in our vernacular to do so. But for the most part, some of these terms have really specific definitions. So I'd like to start with defining what a crystal is.
Okay.
A crystal is any solid substance that has a regular composition and a repeating internal structure. And that internal structure is highly symmetrical, and it's called a crystal lattice. So crystals are found in organic compounds. They're found in living organisms. We have crystals made of calcium phosphate in our bones and teeth. The hemoglobin in our red blood cells that carries oxygen has actually two different crystal shapes, depending on whether it's holding that oxygen or not. And we have also liquid crystals, which are sort of halfway between liquid and solid in every cell of our body. But the crystals we're most familiar with are those that are out in nature from the mineral kingdom. So a stone is basically a real loose definition. It's any solid substance of geologic origin. So this could be a rock, a mineral, a concretion of different things. And minerals specifically would be a naturally occurring crystal. So it has to be formed by nature. It must be inorganic. It must have a regular composition. In other words, it's the same chemical formula at all times. There's room for a little variation there, but not a whole lot. And it also has to have that periodic or repeating structure that makes it a crystal. Those four things have to be present to give us a mineral. Rocks, on the other hand, are combinations of one or more minerals. We might have something like lapis lazuli, which is a really beautiful gemstone that we're all familiar with. That's actually a rock because it's made out of the blue lazurite, the golden pyrite, and then the white calcite and diopside, and then bunches of other things we can't pronounce, so we're not going to try to on air.
I actually love that lapis. In the book, there's this beautiful picture, and out of all of them, that was the thing that I just immediately was drawn to. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful stone. It really calls to us on that soul level.
Mm. So with all of that, how do you make that connection to using all of these rocks and stones and crystals for healing purposes?
Well, you know, there are so many different applications for crystals. I want to talk first high level, like how we really determine what they do, and then bring it down and ground it into real life for us ordinary mere mortals who just want to use them. But you know, they get their abilities based on things like their composition, their geometry, the way that they form, the things they form with. Even sometimes it's the trace elements and things that can really be the determining factors in what they offer for us. So there are ways to figure that out. I'm actually writing a whole book about that as we speak. You know, for the most part, we can look up the properties of stones in a lot of different books. But we have to remember that was one unique specimen of one stone that one unique person worked with. And both of those parts of the equation have their own individual personalities. So it's mm-hmm. perfectly okay if you pick up a piece of hematite and it doesn't do what the book says it's supposed to, because that piece and you are different than the equation of that other piece that other person had when they wrote about it. So when it comes to actually gleaning their benefits, using them, the best thing we can do is meditate with our stones. We can work with them very consciously, invite them to co-create with us, sit with them in stillness, and let them teach us. And that's mm-hmm. really where the inspiration for this book came from. I let obsidian come to me with these two archetypal roles that it had of the spear point or the arrowhead or knife and the mirror, that shiny reflective surface. And that's actually where the whole idea for the book came from. I was literally driving to work thinking about the pieces of obsidian in my pocket, and it popped into my head.
Wow. Well, and I love the fact that in the book, because it really addresses people of all levels of connection. I can enjoy it as a total novice, as with someone whose focus is on archaeology and mythology, since you talk about the history of all these stones. But also, I love the fact that you provide those meditations and cleansing practices so that people can go out and take the tools that come from the book and then apply them in their daily life. And then, of course, it's also good for people who use stones for in their practice now. And I love that you said that it doesn't matter if the stone isn't doing what the book says it's supposed to do, because when I look at the stones laid out in a store or at a fair, and I might feel drawn to one in particular, I'm actually afraid to get it, because perhaps maybe that energy is counter to something I may be dealing with, like this stone helps cure bursitis or heal bursitis, and I don't have bursitis. So I love that you said that it's more your own individual connection to it.
Yeah, absolutely. The main thing is the mineral kingdom, they're teachers, they're healers, yeah. They're guides for us. And we're not all in the same place in our paths, and we don't all require the same tool. So we can just let the stones come to us on an intuitive level rather than try to go through that prescriptive stone use where we look up our condition in a book and we try to find the exact stone that will fix that for us. But it's not a magic bullet. We can't just pop it in our pocket and go about our life and expect miracles to happen. And sometimes they do, but it's a real co-creative process. This is something we actually have to be involved with hand in hand. And that's why I was real drawn to having those exercises and meditations in the book, to give people hands-on methods of working with their crystal. It's one thing to read about what a crystal does. It's another thing to learn how to apply it in real life.
I love it. Let me just tell the listeners how they can purchase your book. If you'd like to have this book in your library or as a gift, you can get it at your local bookstore, Amazon, Inner Traditions, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, Powell's Books, wherever. If your local store does not have it, ask them to order it. What is so great about this book is that with the holidays here, if you're trying to come up with what to get someone, but you're not sure if they have the book already, this is the perfect gift, because chances are they don't have it, as it literally just came out last week. And so it is hot off the press. We are going to just take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking more about crystals and stones with my guest, Nicholas Pearson. So please stay tuned. You are listening to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. We'll be right back.
She would never say where she came from. Yesterday don't matter if it's gone. While the sun is bright.
Dr. Bree Gibbs is a fourth generation high priestess with the knowledge to raise your vibration and conscious creation. Offering a wide variety of services from goddess light and shamanic healing seminars to private reading sessions, Bree works with you so you too can stand in your own power. Isn't it about time you took your life into your own hands? For more information about Bree's services and products, visit silvergaia.net. That's silver, GAIA.net.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
You, yes, you, can be the highest version of yourself. Wellness coach and natural beauty expert Dr. Agnes Frankel is on a mission to help you play the game of your life. Win in vibrancy, health, and beauty. Because you deserve it. Dr. Agnes goes beyond the limits in her personal coaching sessions to revolutionize health and wellness. Now is the time to unleash your true power. For more information, visit DrAgnesFrankel.com.
Well, welcome back to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. I'm Eve, the MBA psychic from Elite Tarot, here with my guest, Nicholas Pearson, who has written a fantastic book called The Seven Archetypal Stones, Their Spiritual Powers and Teachings. We are going to be doing a reading shortly where I'll be doing a one-card tarot card reading, and Nicholas will be making a crystal or stone suggestion based on the call. I cannot wait. In addition, we're giving away one copy of Nicholas's book to the first caller. To call in for a reading, the number is 800-930-2819. So, Nicholas, I just want to kind of follow up on what we were talking about in terms of that some stones, it's okay if you don't, the stone doesn't have the energy that you were wanting with the stone. It's really the connection with that you make with the stone. Can you talk a little bit more about that, please?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's always great to go for the crystals that we are the most attracted to. And we don't really have to always work on that end result. This is a journey rather than a destination. But, you know, what happens with the stones that we're not attracted to? It's nice and easy to learn from the crystals that feel good, that have that vibe that kind of puts us in our home consciousness, so to speak. But it's actually the ones that might be more unsettling or the ones that feel more challenging that are going to be representative of our greatest lessons. I can illustrate this from my own life. For anyone who's into astrology, I have a really prominent Capricorn aspect in my natal chart. And so the ruling planet for Capricorn is Saturn. And this strong Saturnian energy is something that, you know, I've sometimes gone to war with in my life. Really trying to rebel against it. And when I wear stones that have that really strong Saturnian influence, especially indigo-colored stones, like sodalite or lapis, like we were talking about earlier, it really brings out that sort of grave, you know, weighty, almost depressive Saturn energy. And I can't do that out in public, not in great doses. And I had to learn that the hard way. But it's a wonderful tool when I require introspection. So sometimes it's those crystals that are uncomfortable that teach us more than the ones that we like that feel out. So it's okay if you get that. Those are the stones we should really pursue in the big picture.
I love that. Yeah, because sometimes it's not necessarily the easy way, the easy answer.
Right.
Now, in your book, you talk about, and the book is even called The Seven Archetypal Stones. Explain the idea behind the crystal archetypes.
Yeah, definitely. So an archetype is like a prototype, a platonic ideal. You could think of it as a spiritual template or mold that the things we experience in life are based on. So when it came to the crystal archetypes, those were the ideals that the stones represent. We might see them through the evidence of an archaeological artifact like the obsidian mirror or spear point. But we might also see it in the way that crystals are named or the way we interact with them, like in the case of diamond, whose name means not conquerable or untamed because it can conquer all other forces in life. So these archetypes sort of tap into the longest standing, deepest, most prominent sociocultural ideals of the stones that really reflect their innermost teachings. And in the book, I tried to have a balance of ones we could look at and see one way or another, and then those that are sort of implicit based on the inner workings of the stone, the shape of its lattice or lack thereof in the case of obsidian, or something else about its composition or formation that represents another archetypal ideal that it has.
It's interesting because in tarot, we also talk about archetypes with the major arcana. And so I love how that translates into all different forms. Now, there are so many different kinds of these stones and crystals and rocks. And do you have a favorite? What would be your favorite one that you would go to?
Yeah, you know, this is like asking their parent who their favorite child is. You know, they really shouldn't have an answer, but sometimes they do. We just don't talk about it in front of them. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it's like with the stones. And it changes from day to day. Generally speaking, on any given day, my answer is going to be Petersite, which is in the tiger eye family. A lot of people are familiar with tiger eye. It's actually a member of the quartz group. It has these little fibers that are velvety with this beautiful sheen called chatoyant, meaning cat's eye in French. And Petersite takes that same basic rock but subjects it to the geological activities that cause it to be crushed and squeezed and bent and broken. And then more quartz kind of comes in and fills in the gaps and fixes the stone, heals it in a way. And where there's greater heat and greater pressure, the colors of the stone change. You get this multicolored tiger's eye with those velvety fibers running in all sorts of different directions, and they move like a swirling storm cloud. And so it actually gets the nickname Tempest Stone because of the stormy appearance. And it helps us weather the storms in life. Whether it's chaos, it helps us find strength to dive straight into it and learn the lesson that's within the eye of that storm. A wonderful stone.
Wow. I love it. Now I may have to change my preference from the lapis to that. Although actually, I also love the stories behind that you talk about with the obsidian mirrors. And and then there's just the basic diamonds. And okay, I'm still stuck because there's so many here.
That's perfectly acceptable.
So I want to get to stones for the next year. But before I do, I just want to let people know that we're going to be doing readings soon, as well as Nicholas is going to be providing a crystal or stone suggestion that might help with clarity and moving forward from whatever it is that you're calling about. And also, we're going to be giving away a copy of the book to the first caller. And this is just a neat book because it's for everyone. And it really talks, it's not just this is what this stone does and means and from an encyclopedia sort of perspective, but it really gives that history, the mythology, the legends, and as I mentioned before, the meditations that you can do to use this. So I just love it. But now we're coming at the end of 2016 and heading into 2017, and no matter where you fall or anyone falls on the political spectrum, this is a kind of time where people just really have no idea how things are going or where things are turning. Is there a stone that best can help us or represent the new year?
Yeah, I've got a couple stones that I'm really working with in my personal life for this. The first of which is obsidian, because it represents the cauldron of chaos. Obsidian has no crystal structure. It's an amorphous solid. And so it sort of symbolizes this potential to come out of chaos and yield crystallinity where there was none. It's also a great stone for bringing light into where the darkness is, so that we can really recover from our shadow self, recover from the wounds that we've been harboring for a long time. Amethyst is another great one for the new year. It's a really popular stone. It's beautiful to look at. And one of the things that it offers to us is purification through the action of the violet flame. And the violet flame helps us transmute, not just wipe away, but to take the old and recycle it, fully transform it into something positive, into something beneficial. And what's really wonderful about amethyst is it also works on the level of freedom. In the Ascended Master's teachings, Saint Germain is often connected to the activity of freedom and closely associated with amethyst. So we can use this to really express our full freedom by connecting to the stone too.
Mm, love it. Wow. I'm just kind of thinking about it, all those different stones. And it is such an interesting time to be in applying a lot of these stones towards the new year. Wow. I have a question. Is there a difference in terms of quality, in the sense, like, when you're talking about all these stones, and suddenly I was thinking, if I go to a store and I see these stones, or is it matter where I get them, or is there quality difference depending on how authentic that stone is, or are they all authentic and they're just kind of carved differently or processed differently?
You know, it's a complicated answer. It really depends on what you want to do with your stones. Generally speaking, higher quality and greater mass both equate to a better output from the crystal, but more is not always better. You know, we like to say size doesn't matter with crystals, so people who can only afford tumbled stones don't worry that all they can afford is tumbled stones. But, you know, if you had a giant 300-pound piece of amethyst, the energy field around it is going to extend much farther than a little tumbled stone. However, that might not be appropriate for every application. You don't want to overwhelm people, and you certainly can't put your giant piece of amethyst in your pocket. So start with what is accessible to you. Learn how to use that inside and out. I've gotten to the point in my collecting where I prefer quality over quantity. Even if that means I get a smaller specimen, I will get one of much higher quality, in part because it takes better pictures for books, but also that's sort of the level of my consciousness is at. I want to elevate my consciousness, so I'm elevating my stones collection, their representations in my collection, rather.
Well, thank you again for my fundamental question there.
Of course.
We are going to take a quick break now. When we come back, we'll be doing readings with a special stone or crystal suggestion from my guest, Nicholas Pearson. So if you're interested in a call, if you're interested in reading, rather, give us a call at 800-930-2819. You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio, and we'll be right back.
A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear? From the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to, that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Suzanne Evans. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spiritualdeed.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%?
Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine. Many of us have patterns that have been long held in our field. We attract the same energies, take the same jobs, go to the same toolkits of experience and survival. That is a lot of what patterns are about: security, safety, and survival. Even if they don't work, at least we understand them. But destiny, even the word sounds boundless. It comes from your soul essence, a completely different place. When we listen to the guidance coming to us, that is where it is taking us. Let's go. Are you ready to shift into your best life? Visit LeslieFontaine.com and let's talk about unfolding all that you want to be, do, and have. You'll find sessions, audio products, classes to help remove the blocks and move you into your potential. And listen to my show, Sheer Alchemy, on Transformation Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 10 Pacific and 1 Eastern.
Girls grow old and we all lose our charms in the end. But square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. There may come a time when a lass needs a lawyer, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. There may come a time when a hard-boiled employer thinks you're awful nice, but get that ice or else no dice. He's your guy when stocks go high, but beware when they start to descend. It's then that those louses go back.
Welcome back to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. I'm so appreciative of my guest, Nicholas Pearson, author of the just-released book, The Seven Archetypal Stones, for answering my pretty fundamental questions about this topic. I've always wanted to know about some of this stuff, but afraid to ask. Also, I wanted just to clarify about the giveaway book, is that we are going to be doing the joint readings starting in just a few moments. And so the book will be given away to the first caller who gets a reading and after the reading. So, Nicholas, please share with your listeners, with the listeners, the best way to learn more about you.
Absolutely. So I have a Facebook page that you can visit me on, The Luminous Pearl. Pretty soon, I will have a website up and running, and it's going to be theluminouspearl.com. And you can also find me on Amazon on my author page, and I list all my events on there. That way, you can kind of keep tabs on where I'm going to be. You'll be able to see my books that are forthcoming. My second book comes out in about 6 weeks or so. So we've got a lot of fun stuff happening in the future.
Can you talk about this upcoming book? Or is it still hush-hush?
So it's currently available for pre-order on Amazon as well as from my publisher. And it's called Crystals for Karmic Healing. And it's all about transforming our future by releasing our past. So as we learn to really heal this karmic stuff that we carry around, our futures shift exponentially. For every tiny little contract or cord or other, you know, etheric junk, as we like to put it. Every time we release or transform some piece of that, our future brightens. We're able to more fully express the light that's encoded into us at the soul level for our highest potential. And this is such a timely work because never before in the history of humankind have we been given the tools that we have in terms of the gifts from the spiritual realm, the types of crystals that are coming out of the earth, and the level of consciousness. All these things are coming together to give us an ability to expedite this process in a way that's never been seen before. So I'm just so glad to get this out in people's hands.
Well, and so you're saying that it's going to be coming out in about...
About six weeks, sometime mid to late January.
I love it. Now, if you're interested in getting the book, The Seven Archetypal Stones, of course, you can do so at your local bookstore, Amazon, Inner Traditions, Barnes & Noble, all those likes. This is a perfect gift for the holidays, because since it was just published, you are going to look like a total rock star if you give it to someone, because chances are they don't have it yet. And so, because it just came out. And so this is really a great gift for someone who's interested in history, as well as, of course, gems and stones, but also about healing and metaphysical practices.
And it's actually, let me interrupt, a great gift for right now. If you'd like to join us, we have one copy still to give away. If you'd like to join us on the show and have a reading as well, we'll give that copy away. How's that, right?
That sounds perfect.
Still available. Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah, it's 800-930-2819 for the show number, 800-930-2819.
Thank you very much. And so I wanted to just talk to you also about the stones. Now, in this book, you really talk about the seven archetypal stones. There are many more than seven. And so, and I like the fact that there was a building block that you formed. And I think that you kind of phrased it in terms of going from darkness to full illumination. And so how did you just choose those seven stones?
Oh, it was difficult. I will be very honest with that. This very well could have been the 24 archetypal stones, and it would have been a much longer book. No one would want to go through that many pages in one sitting. But what it really boiled down to was which of the stones show their archetypes in the clearest image, you know, which ones stand out above all the others. And sometimes it was hard. Like, jade is definitely a universal stone, but trying to decide on which of its archetypes were the ones that crossed all the borders and affected us all pretty darn equally was very challenging. Jade was actually the most challenging chapter in the book to write, and it was chapter two.
Wow.
Other stones like obsidian and diamond revealed themselves almost instantaneously. The moment I sat down and actually thought about, well, what if I write about more than just obsidian? What's it going to be? Diamond was the very next thing that showed up. So the others, they came to me in stages. Some were more obvious than others. There are some stones I wish had made the cut. They were just too hard to sort of filter out from all the other minerals that performed similar functions.
So how do you see these stones kind of working and impacting in terms of, is there a connection between that and the scientific community and the academic community? Like, how are they using some of this work that you've created in your book?
You know, I would love to see more parallels between science and spirituality. I call my work ethnogeology. If anyone's ever heard of ethnobotany, that's where anthropologists and other scientists go out into the field and learn how native people are using their local plant for medicine and for science. But oftentimes that starts by learning about how these people use plants in a very spiritual way. And they identify the most important ones and then take them back to the labs and isolate the beneficial compounds. That's actually how we get a lot of our medicine. So I've noticed that for a long time I've been doing something similar with minerals, but there's no isolating compounds in a lab. You can just look up in a table what it's made out of, because all that work's been done, and trying to build a link between what those scientific properties are and how they're driving those spiritual mechanisms that we see when we apply them. So there's not a whole lot of crossover just yet, but it's slowly happening. Things like obsidian, for example, there are actually tests for veterinary equipment that have scalpels made from obsidian, because you can make a sharper, thinner blade out of obsidian than you can stainless steel. And that means that you get faster recovery time since you're doing less collateral damage. There are, you know, lots of applications in science, technology, industry, optics that make use of transparent gemstones like quartz, like synthetic rubies. Also, a lot of applications in computing that use crystals that don't occur in nature, like lithium niobate, and fused silica glass and silicon crystals for data storage. So there's a lot of potential there. Things that we've been doing spiritually sort of have symbolic parallels in the scientific world, but it's just not a literal one-for-one substitution yet.
Excellent. Well, I want to hold that thought because we are going to go to our first caller. And
awesome.
We're going to try to get this in before the break. Julie from Renton, welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. And you are on the air.
Well, thank you so much. I really am excited about your program.
Oh, well, thank you so much for being here. You know, so we're going to be doing, I'm going to do a one card reading, and Nicholas is going to be providing a suggestion of a stone or crystal. Is there anything you have a question about with, like, guidance on, or just a general reading?
Well, I've just finished a lot of transition and letting go, and now I'm opening a new chapter, and I just went through a metaphysical store and picked me up a nice big piece of selenite, if that's how you say it, selenite. Mm-hmm. I've been a rock hound for years, smoky topaz, amethyst. I have an amethyst mat that's called a bio mat. I'm a massage therapist. I just feel like I'm on the brink of something really big, and I need more direction.
Well, I love it. And I pulled a card which is really talking about the direction, and it's the Six of Wands. And in this card, you see a very strong person, which you are moving forward with total direction and focus. He's on a horse and he's got the wreath of victory at the top, and he's just moving forward, bypassing people or perhaps ideas that may detract him along his path. And so continue to stay focused, but allowing the universe to give you open doors, to allow for some detours along the way. But this card is basically saying just keep going forward in making that happen to you in your life. Nicholas, what do you recommend?
You know, I think in this situation, I'd recommend fluorite, especially if you can get an octahedron, which is shaped like two pyramids kind of stuck together base to base. And it represents discipline. It helps anchor the positive changes that we make mentally and emotionally in the moment, that way we can continue to get the traction we need to move forward. It's a great one for breaking down limitations and barriers also.
Wonderful. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Well, good luck with that, and thank you so much for calling. And
thank
stay
so
on the line, because you are also the winner of the book, of Nicholas's book, The Seven Archetypal Stones. So stay on hold, and Benny will get your information. We are going to take one last break on our crystal show with my guest, Nicholas Pearson. So please stay tuned. You are listening to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. We'll be right back.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
There are so many resources out there for meditation, but did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's atanamethod.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
Get your monthly dose of self-awareness and mindfulness. Learn spiritual regeneration with visionary leader David Karsher. And Becoming a Son Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Explore the unknown regions of the emotional experience and set them free with David. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Son Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Welcome back to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. I'm Eve, the MBA psychic from Elite Tarot, here with my guest, Nicholas Pearson, author of the just released book, The Seven Archetypal Stones. If you're interested in purchasing the book, contact your local bookstore, Amazon, all the like. If they don't have it, ask them to order it because it just was published. And so we are going to go right back to the phones. Sharon from North Bend, welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Is there anything you have a question about, would like insight on or a general reading?
Like the previous caller, I am a massage therapist myself, but I am in the process of walking away from that, or selling my practice and moving forward. I've been doing violet light decrees now for over 30 days to help balance karma and clean up my aura and any negative energy. Should I be using an amethyst stone along with that as I'm trying to do those decrees? Would that help?
Actually, I think, Nicholas, I have a card pulled, but why don't, if you can address that, that would be great.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways that we can amplify any of our work with the violet flame or the violet ray is by using amethyst, because amethyst serves as sort of the crystalline anchor for that ray in our plane of existence. So you can hold it, you can program it, you can just meditate with it while you're using those decrees or mantras or any other form of meditation that you're using. And if you'd like to see some really innovative ways to couple the practice of the violet flame with the amethyst in particular, you can check it out in my first book. Also, my second book coming out next month is going to have even more activities for combining amethyst with the violet flame.
Thank you.
Excellent. And the card that I came up with for you was the Four of Wands. And in here you see two individuals, which is all you, left brain, right brain, yin and yang, masculine, feminine. And they're in between four wands. And it's this beautiful card. And there's really a good feeling of harmony and creativity and really feeling inspired. The one thing I do note, though, is that the wands are twice, if not more, the size of the individual. And so it's just a reminder not to dream too small as you're making those next steps, but rather go all out with the dreams and not limit that vision. Does that make sense?
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, but it's a really lovely card, and good luck with everything that you're doing.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the reading this morning.
Oh, well, thank you so much for calling in. So, Nicholas, tell me a little bit about what's next and how can people find out more about you and things that are taking place?
Well, in the next month, I have a super special event that I'm in the planning stages of. I'm actually returning to my old university, Stetson University, here in Central Florida, the land, and we're going to be putting together a special exhibition that features these 7 archetypal stones in the Gillespie Museum there on campus. So we're going to have some public events. I'm going to have some of my personal stones that have been with me for a long time on loan to the museum. So you can actually come and take a look at them, feel the good vibes, learn about mineral science as well, because that's important. It's going to be great fun. I also teach workshops and do book signings, mostly here in Central Florida, but I'm going to be widening that scope more and more over the coming months. So, again, you can find me on Facebook at The Luminous Pearl, and you can visit my Amazon author page. Just type Nicholas Pearson to the search bar and click on my name. You'll find all my events that way. But I've got new books coming, 2 launching next year, more coming in the year after that. It looks like my 4th book, which is actually about the practice of Reiki, should be coming sometime in 2018.
Wow. I wanted to ask you about that. Now, you practice Usui Reiki Ryoho. Is that a special part of Reiki, or what exactly is that?
Yeah, so the name Usui Reiki Ryoho is essentially the full name of the practice, or most of the name of the practice, as given by the founder. Founder's name is Usui Nikao. Usui is his family name. And there were other forms of healing in Japan that were already extant that used the term Reiki in their title. So to differentiate between them all, he named his whole practice Shinshin Kaizen Usui Reiki Ryoho, which means Usui's Reiki healing method for healing the heart, mind, and the body.
Excellent. And do you practice now? Did you start practicing that about the same time that you were also getting involved with the Mineral Kingdom, or has this been more of a later kind of thing in your life?
Yeah, this was a little bit later. About 10 years ago, I started my Reiki practice. My first teacher is here in Florida. She is phenomenal, really inspired me. She's half Japanese, so she really imparted this great respect and love for the Japanese culture, which I already appreciated, but Reiki allowed me to deepen that practice. A few years later, I was able to actually go to Japan, do some original research, go to the place where the founder had his awakening, his Tatori, or enlightenment, that led to the foundation of Reiki practice. And it's been just a wonderful part of my path ever since. My real goal is to go back to the origins of Reiki and help people rediscover that it was initially a spiritual practice to help us with our steps towards enlightenment, first and foremost. The healing was secondary. The founder even said that when we make the mind sound, or when we improve the mind, the body naturally gets better. So Reiki was initially a mind training device, a way to help us polish the mirror of our soul, so to speak.
The obsidian. See, I'm learning a little bit of the mirror. My knowledge is much better than it was, because I also read that book cover to cover and I loved it, and it really did help incorporate that knowledge. But one thing I wanted to ask though, do these two art forms combine? So do you use stones as part of a Reiki healing?
You know, I do from time to time. It depends what the needs of the person on the table are. The way I teach things is I teach them as sort of separate but equal practices, because you have to really know the foundations of something before you can tack on extra stuff to it. Otherwise, it can be real cumbersome and confusing. But I really encourage people to use whatever practices support them in their growth. So, you know, if you're into aromatherapy and color healing and you want to take Reiki and combine all 3, that's wonderful. Let your clients know you're combining all 3 things, so that way someone doesn't come to their next Reiki session with another practitioner expecting to be misted with, you know, lavender or have a brightly colored light shine on them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the Reiki, it's such an interesting form, and you're going to just have to come back and talk about Reiki as well as your next book, you know, because I feel like this show just flew by and we just barely scratched the surface. Excuse the pun. Will you come back to and talk about your upcoming book, your next book, and perhaps also more about Reiki specifically as well?
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure to do so, Eve.
Well, this has been such a pleasure. And I just want to thank everyone for tuning in to today's show. Again, if you're interested in purchasing the book, you can do so at your local bookstore, Amazon, Inner Traditions, Indie Bound, Barnes & Noble, Powell's Books. Again, this book just came out, so your bookstore may not have it, but please definitely feel free to have them order it. And you can also read more about my guest and upcoming book signings and events and classes through his Amazon page, as well as on his Facebook page, which is The Luminous Pearl. Thank you so much, Nicholas, for coming on. Please, and thank you so much for listening, everyone who called in and everyone listening. Please join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, and with peace and love and gratitude, see you back here next time.
You've been listening to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio with your host, Eve. Join us Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com to harness the power of the universe for optimal success and happiness as Eve continues to take metaphysics mainstream. Until then, learn more about Eve and Elite Tarot at EliteTarot.com. That's EliteTarot.com. See you next week.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.